Okay, so tonight I want to talk about, we spoke enough about Kiddush, I think. We spoke a little bit about the Makom Suda, so let's talk about the Suda. You know, let's get to the food. So we know that we have an obligation of eating three meals on Shabbos, right? I think pretty much we all know that. Where does it come from? It's interesting. If you look at the Gemara, which is the first source, the Gemara on Shabbos, source number one, the Gemara tells us, "Tonu Rabbanon." The rabbis taught in a brisa, "Kama sudos chayav adam lechol b'Shabbos." How many meals is a person obligated to eat on Shabbos? Shalosh. You have to eat three meals on Shabbos. Rabbi Chidka Omer Arba. He says four. Okay, he was from a real Jewish upbringing, so he says four. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, however you understand it, whether it's three or four, they learn it out from the same pasuk. Kushneim mikra echa darshu. They both learn from the same pasuk. Vayomer Moshe. Ichluhu hayom, okay? You should eat it today. I put the quotation in the wrong place, I apologize. Ichlu hayom. Ichlu is referring to what? What are we eating? The mun. We're eating the mun, okay? You should eat it today. Ki Shabbos hayom l'Hashem. Today is Shabbos for Hashem. Hayom lo simtza'uhu basadeh. Today you will not find it out in the field. Right? And we all know that what happened when the mun came down every morning, the mun came down at people's doorstep, and on Shabbos they didn't have any mun. The mun didn't fall on Shabbos, but it fell as a double portion on Erev Shabbos, and because of that, we were supposed to eat it on Shabbos, so you're not going to find it. And Chazal pick up on the fact that it says the word Hayom three times in the pasuk, right? Kind of reminiscent of the Yom of Noray, right? Hayom, 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 Hayom. Right? Okay, so Hayom three times in the pasuk. Rabbi Chidka Savar Hanitlasa Hayom Levar Me'orta. Rabbi Chidka, who was of the opinion that it's four meals on Shabbos, he says, well, it's three Hayoms plus the meal that you're eating at night. So you're having one meal at night and then three Hayoms during the day. Right? So that comes out to four. Rabbanan Savri Behade Orta. The Rabbanan said, no, the three is including the nighttime meal. So it's a question, do we include the Friday night meal in these three Hayoms or not? But be it as it may, the pasuk says Hayom three times, and because of that, we learn that you have to have three meals on Shabbos. So that's the halacha, you have to have three meals on Shabbos. Now, if I were to ask you, is this obligation a de'orais obligation or a derabbanan obligation? So you would presumably tell me, well, derabbanan, why?
It's only like drush that you learn it out.
It's only a drush? Okay, I mean, maybe. Right? It's not smachta. Okay, so you're all very intelligent. You're all very intelligent. What? You would say deoraisa, right? Meaning you're all a step ahead. You know, you have a lot of knowledge. But, you know, presumably, if you just look at the Gemara quotes a pasuk, it learns out three times hayom that you're supposed to eat, three meals on Shabbos, you would assume it's deoraisa. But the poskim do say that it is derabbanan. The obligation to have three sudos on Shabbos is a derabbanan obligation. And the Mishnah Berurah himself explains that it is an asmachta. An asmachta, I think I may have mentioned in the past, but an asmachta basically means that the rabbis did not find a source for their halacha in the Torah. They came up with some sort of halacha, some sort of law. They found a hint after the fact. They found a hint to it in the Torah. So a regular deoraisa, so we have a source for the halacha in the Torah. That serves as the source. Here it's not the source. The source is the rabbis. They made it up. Now, they found a hint to it in the Pesukim in the Torah, and that's the way that the Mishnah Berurah clearly understands. If you look at the end of source number three, I know I skipped two, I apologize, source number two, but I had to make room on the paper, it wasn't all going to fit, so something had to go, so source number two went, and sorry, you'll have to wait till another time to find out what it was. But source number three, the Mishnah Berurah at the end writes very clearly, v'asmachuhu akra, that it's an asmachta, and it's really a halacha that is midrabanan. Very interesting. The Gemara actually not only tells us that we're obligated to eat three meals on Shabbos, but it tells us, you know, about some tries to encourage us to do so, and some of the positive acts, you know, elements of eating three meals on Shabbos. So, what are these positive elements? Fascinating Gemara in Shabbos about a blot later on Kuf Yud Ches in source number four. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kafra, Kol Amakayim Shalosh Seudos B'Shabbos Nitzol Mishalosh Puranios. Anyone who, you know, fulfills this obligation to have three meals on Shabbos is saved from three types of evil, events. Number one, mechevlo shamashiach, the pain and the suffering that's associated with the coming of Mashiach. As we know, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a difficult time. He's not going to come in an easy time. And some of that pain will be removed, so to speak, from a person who properly fulfills these three seudos. Umeidina shel Gehenim. You get some sort of relaxation of your sentence, so to speak, in Gehenim. Exactly what this means, I can't tell you, but there's some sort of a relaxation of your sentence. You get a little bit off from your time in Gehenim. Umi milchemes Gog u'Magog, and the famous milchemes Gog u'Magog that will happen at the end of days. You have a reprieve from that as well. So these are certainly three good things. I would sign up for these without even knowing exactly what they are. But I would sign up for these three things. And listen, all you have to do is eat. So it's a relatively easy mitzvah, and you have these three benefits. Yeah.
This may be a little off topic, but why did the rabbis need an asmachta? I mean, just from a methodological point of view, why couldn't we just call it the rabbanan?
Right.
Why did we need? Maybe you expose, or the rabbis expose themselves with some kind of overreaching. This isn't a mitzvah in which you would necessarily be so concerned about the nature of the penalty for not having three meals. Meaning, it's not such a
right.
When you have three meals or
right.
Two meals, it's not like you're not like driving your car on Shabbos. So why even reach?
It's a good question.
Right. We have so many other things.
It's a good question. It's a good question. It would be interesting to look at a study and see which Rabbanans have an asmachta and which don't, and try to find some sort of a pattern. I'm not familiar with any sort of thesis or pattern in that regard, but it certainly is an interesting thing. I mean, we find many cases of Rabbanans where you don't have any pasuk associated with it. There's no asmachta. And then you find many cases where there is an asmachta. So I'm not sure. It's an interesting topic. I'm not sure why in some cases you have asmachtas and some you don't. I don't think it's overreaching. Meaning, whether there's an asmachta or not does not really impact the halacha in any way.
Right. So the reverse is, so why go there?
No. Well, I guess it's a sort of it's an added benefit. If you have a hint to it in the Torah. We believe shivim panim la Torah. We believe that the Torah includes. I mean, these aren't just like cutesy things that if I sit down long enough, I can figure something out from the Torah. I mean, we believe that the Torah was hinting to this kind of a thing, not that it's a source that the Torah is obligating us in it, but we believe that the Torah has many layers of meaning, and one of those layers of meaning is to hint to things that the rabbis were eventually going to come up with. We do believe that. I don't want to get into a discussion about Torah codes and discovery Eisha Torah seminars and things like that, but we do believe, at least on a Derabbanan level, that there is that underlying level of meaning in the Pesukim. Again, why certain mitzvos have it and certain mitzvos don't, I don't know. That's an interesting point, but maybe for someone's doctoral thesis, but not mine, I don't think, for right now. But I don't have time for a doctoral thesis now. But okay. So those are the three things. And the Gemara goes on to bring Pesukim. Actually, most of the Pesukim, which mention the word Hayom, interestingly enough, and kind of prove that if you're Mekayim, the three Seudos properly, you get a reprieve from these three penalties or punishments, or whatever the case might be. So it's certainly a positive thing. Okay. The mitzvah of three Seudos applies to men and to women equally. As is stated clearly in Shulchan Aruch in source number 5, Nashim Chayavos Pesuda Shlishis, right? And women are obligated. He doesn't even address the fact that women are obligated for the first two. That's obvious. But even for Suda Shlishis, where the third meal, which is something of a question, he does say women are obligated. We'll dedicate probably a whole shiur just to Shalashudas, what we call Shalashudas, which is properly referred to as Suda Shlishis. So we'll dedicate a whole shiur to it, but there'll be some overlap. We'll have some ideas mentioned tonight regarding that third meal. Now, why is it that women are included in the mitzvah of three seudos on Shabbos? So the answer is because we've discussed that women are included in all positive aspects of Shabbos, all mitzvahs of Shabbos, including positive time-bound commandments, from which women are usually exempt. Women are usually exempt from mitzvah saseh shazman grama, positive time-bound commandments. But when it comes to the mitzvahs of Shabbos, that exemption does not exist. Why? Because women are obligated in all the low sases of Shabbos and all the negative aspects of violating, not violating Shabbos. So we connect the two. That since women have to abide by all the low sases, they have to abide by all the ases also. The two are connected, as the Mishnah Berurah explains very clearly in source number 6. To the chol milei to Shabbos ish visha shav and kemoshen is barbas and reishayin aleph. Furthermore, interestingly enough, we just mentioned that the source of this mitzvah of three meals comes from where? Comes from the mud. Okay? If you think about it, excuse me?
Women probably collected the mud.
Well, maybe they collected it. I'm not sure if they collected it or not, but they certainly were included in the miracle of the mud. Right? They certainly were nourished by the mud, just like the men were nourished by the mud. And we know there is a concept in halacha of af hein hayu ba'osa anes. We're about to come upon Chanukah, right? Af hein hayu ba'osa anes. That they were involved, you know, I mean, machlokas rishonim, how exactly to understand that phrase, but at least they were involved in the miracle, right? The miracle was done to them as well. And here in the case of the mud, certainly the miracle applied to the women just as much as it applied to the men. So if we're learning out this obligation of three meals on Shabbos from the mud, so then it would make sense that women are obligated in it as well. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah, that's how the Mishnah Berurah concludes here. Va'ot shigamim hayu b'neis shel haman. We have this the concept of Gimel Sudos from this story, from these psukim, discussing the month. So women are certainly obligated in all three sudos. Again, we'll discuss sudos shlishis shalashudis by itself as to how you can be yotze shalashudis. But there is an obligation for men and for women to have three sudos on Shabbos, including shalashudis. How much do you have to? How much do you have to eat, for example, you know, to be yotzei this mitzvah of the three seudos? So we know that you have to have bread, right? How much bread do you have to eat? So I'll just start with I think, I don't know if it's a misconception or something that people don't realize, but sometimes, you know, what people do is they have challah, and especially nowadays with all the awareness of carbohydrates and all the diets that everyone's on, you know, we don't want to eat too many carbs, you know. I teach in SKA, so we had parent-teacher conferences tonight. So they serve dinner at parent-teacher conferences. So they have, you know, grilled chicken and deli platters, and they have bread, you know, for like a, you know, rye bread for sandwiches. I always know that I'll be able to get a sandwich in SKA. You don't have to worry. There's plenty of bread left, you know. The women are not touching the bread. They eat the grilled chicken. They, you know, maybe they have some of the deli by itself, the turkey, you know, a little healthier. But you know, then all the male rabbis, you know, pile in and make their big hefty you know, deli sandwiches. So I know I'm okay. But you know, but nowadays we're all very concerned about carbohydrates and bread. So very often, what do people do? They wash and they take a bite of challah and then they put it down and that's it, right? And that's it. It's not really enough, right? Because in order to bench, you first of all, just in order to bench, you need a kezias, you need an olive's worth. Now, an olive's worth is not that all that much. I've said in the past that, you know, if you imagine one of those little matchboxes and you could fill it with bread, that's about, you know, an olive's worth. That's about a kezias of challah. It's really not all that much. You know, a half a piece of challah is certainly kezias, you know, probably more. But, you know, I think Rabbi Badner maybe says like in a standard challah roll, you have about 9 kezasim, you know, in a regular challah roll. So it's kezias is not all that much. But it's something, it's more than a bite, you know, it's more than just one bite of challah. So that's number one. Number one, we have to eat at least a kezias in order to bench, right? In order just in order to bench. And sometimes you have people eating a bite and then benching. It's not really proper. Not only that, but the Shulchan Aruch says actually we should really be eating a little bit more than a kezias of bread. Right? So Shulchan Aruch, it's source number 7. Yehizahim al lekayim suda shlishis. He says, first of all, you should be very careful to be mekayim the third meal, suda shlishis. Okay, and again, shalosh shudis is one of those meals that's a little bit hard for people to do, especially in the winter, right? When it's, you know, it's very difficult because you literally just finished, you know, many people just finished benching. And then they come to shul for mincha, and then the shalosh shudis. So it's a hard meal for people to do. V'avi musaveh yachol lekayim osah bekebeitza. He says, even if you're full, all you have to eat is a kibetza. Okay, kibetza is double a kezias. So you're talking, you know, two matchboxes full of bread. You know, about you know, whatever the case might be. Let's say a half a piece of challah maybe is a kibetza. V'im yev shalo klal le'achol enu chayv letzayra esatzmo. He does mention that if you're really if eating shalashudis, he's talking about shalashudis here. If eating shalashudis literally will just be painful for you. Literally painful, so then you don't have to do it, Right? Then you don't have to pain yourself. Why? Why? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, if you skip to source number 9, the Mishnah Berurah says, because what's the whole point of having a Shabbos Suda? Right? What's the whole point of having a Suda on Shabbos? Oneg Shabbos. You're supposed to enjoy Shabbos. So if you're literally just stuffing the bread down your throat just to be Mekayim, you know, Suda Shlishis, and it's causing you pain, you're so full, it's disgusting, it's causing you pain, so you're not obligated to do that. You know, because the whole point, as the Mishnah Berurah writes in source number 9, that Suda la Oneg nitan avad ol tzar. The point of the Suda is for Oneg, is for Oneg Shabbos. It's not to be Mitzayer yourself. Yeah.
So would that apply to the first and the second meal also?
Okay, so technically speaking, yes. However, we'll see in a second. I put it on at the very end, but I'll just say it right now. If you skip just quickly, if you turn to the second page, you skip down to source number 21. So the Shulchan Aruch says, even though he just told you that if you're really in pain, you know, you don't have to eat Shal Shudas if it's just causing you pain. So writes the Shulchan Aruch though in 21, Ve'achacham Einav Berosho. He says you should also look ahead. You know, be smart about it. Look ahead. You know you have an obligation to eat 3 meals on Shabbos Shal Shudas. Shalo Yimale Bitna Besudas Haboker. There's no mitzvah at lunch to have doubles or to have triples. Okay, to have 10 pieces of challah and 2 helpings of challah. There's no mitzvah to do that. If you know that you have an obligation to have 3 meals on Shabbos, so look ahead, be smart about it, and have a smaller lunch. You can have a decent lunch, but you don't. There's no mitzvah to stuff yourself at lunch to the point where you're so stuffed that you can't eat challah shudas. That's not a good excuse, right? Meaning, if a person had just a little bit for lunch and they just got full and they can't get challah shudas down. Okay, that's one thing. But if you're stuffing yourself at lunch or at Kiddush, which precedes lunch, okay, and then at lunch, and you're just, you're stuffing yourself to the point where you can't eat Shal Shudas, it's not a great excuse. You know, you have to really think about the fact that you're obligated, think ahead. You're obligated to eat 3 meals on Shabbos and plan accordingly. If your stomach can't handle Kiddush and lunch and Shal Shudas, then cut back a little bit on something. So that's an important thing to recognize. And the same thing applies again for the other 2 meals. First of all, for Friday night, this is an interesting halacha. I don't have this on the sources here, but there's a halacha that's not so well known. It happens to be it doesn't come up so often, I think. But in the winter, it's a little bit trickier. There's a halacha that a person is not supposed to wash Friday afternoon after a half hour before Mincha Ketana. So without getting involved in the intricacies of that zman of what time that is. But Mincha Ketana is about midway through the afternoon. A half hour before that, already from that point, a person should not wash. You know, you can have mezonos, you can have anything else, but you shouldn't wash for a meal. What's the problem with washing for a meal? Because you shouldn't be full for the Friday night meal. Chazal wanted you to think ahead, again, Friday, thinking ahead for Friday night, that you're supposed to eat the Friday night meal. You're supposed to, be a little bit hungry. You don't have to be starving. But you're supposed to be, you're supposed to have an appetite for the Friday night meal. And again, here, when it's an early Shabbos and you're eating the Friday night meal at 5:30, 6 o'clock, you're sitting down to the Suda Shabbos, don't eat a 3, 4 o'clock lunch. Eat an earlier lunch or eat a smaller lunch or whatever the case might be. Again, if we know that we have these chiyuvim, we have these obligations, we have to think ahead a little bit. So technically speaking, yes. Technically speaking, if a person is in pain and they can't eat, there's no mitzvah to be mitzayer yourself. Because the whole point of the Suda Shabbos is for Oneg. But, that being said, a person should look ahead and plan ahead and try to plan accordingly so that they can fulfill the 3 meals properly.
In that regard, is there any Zmanim issues that come into play in terms of when any of the 3 meals have to be eaten?
Yes. We'll get to that a little bit later. We're going to touch on that. Very interesting. We'll get to it a little bit later. Okay, so again, so ideally the Shulchan Aruch says you should really try to eat a kibetzah, which is a little bit, it's double a kazayas. And the Mishnah Berurah in source number 8 says, in fact, it's actually a little bit more than a kibetzah, because just a kibetzah itself is not considered a real kvius, is not a real established eating, so it's actually a little bit more than a kibetzah. Again, at least the Mishnah Berurah writes in source number 9, at least v'yesh omrim, in the second line there, sha'afilu b'kazayas yotzei le'asuda. At least you have to have a kazayis. But he says, so if you can, try to eat a kibetz of challah, try to eat a double kazayis of challah, even a little bit more than that. Usually Friday night we sit down, we like challah, it's enjoyable, you know, so we have a couple pieces of challah, you certainly fulfill that. Even with one piece of challah, it's probably more than a kibetza. Try to do it. If you can't do it, at least have a kazayas, you know, but less than a kazayas you really shouldn't do, because then you can't bench. You can't bench on less than a kazayas. So even if you're on some sort of a diet, you know, try to work it out, you know, gluten-free, you know, they have all these sorts of different grains, and, you know, you can have breads, you know, spelt bread or whatever the case might be, or you know, different types of breads, oat bread, or whatever, you know, whatever you can have a type of bread that's gluten free. But you know, you should make sure to have at least a kazayis, but really preferably a kibetza, a little bit more than a kibetza, for that meal. Very interesting halacha. Let's say someone does not eat the Friday night suda. Something happened. They weren't feeling well. They fell asleep and they missed the Friday night suda. Right? So now they wake up Shabbos morning, feeling refreshed, starving, right? Because they didn't eat dinner. And so what do? Shabbos day. So comes the Rambam, fascinating halachan, source number 7 at the end, and writes the Rambam, the second line, Hagah, Umi shelo achal b'leil Shabbos, yochal shalosh se'udos b'yom Shabbos. You have to eat 3 meals on Shabbos day. 3 meals Shabbos day. Right? Because you have an obligation to eat 3 meals. Okay, this kind of touches on your point. So ideally, you're supposed to have one of them Friday night and 2 of them Shabbos day, okay? But if you didn't have them, this doesn't say anywhere in the Psukim or the Chazal, it doesn't say anywhere that it has to be that way. And therefore, if you didn't eat one Friday night, then you got to eat 3 meals Shabbos day. Not only that,
but you don't have Kiddush Friday morning because Shabbos morning.
Look at source number 10. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, V'gam kein tzarech lekadesh b'shachris kol hakiddush shalayla. Milvad vayechulu im lo kiddush b'arvis. If you didn't make kiddush Friday night, you have to make the whole kiddush. You don't say vayechulu, okay? You don't say vayechulu because vayechulu is, you know, the whole reason why we say it is really related to shul, as we discussed. It's really related to davening Friday night, so that you don't say Shabbos morning. But you start from you the rest of the kiddush you make.
So you make 2 kiddushes?
No, you make 1. You just make the Friday night kiddush. Because again, the Shabbos day kiddush we mentioned is really just Borei Pri Hagafen. We say other psukim, you know, we have minhagim to say other psukim. But technically speaking, just Borei Pri Hagafen, it really suffices for the Shabbos day kiddush. But the Friday night kiddush, we have a whole paragraph of Mekadesh HaShabbos that you have to say Shabbos day if you didn't say it Friday night. You have Mekadesh HaShabbos, that's your mitzvah of kiddush. So
it's, he washes and he benches and then he washes again? Is that what you're saying?
No. You do everything like regular. You just change the kiddush.
You didn't
eat Friday night.
Right, so Shabbos morning, you're washing, you're making kiddush.
You make kiddush, you make Friday night kiddush.
You're washing.
Wash, and that's it.
And then you bench it.
Well, you bench it, yeah.
When is the second meal?
So when the second meal, so then when you start the second meal.
No, so you have to have 3 meals. You work it out to have 3 meals. Whatever 3 meals, however you want to work it out. If you want to daven hashkama and have breakfast afterwards, you still have to wash 3 times. You know, on a winter Shabbos, it'll get a little tricky. So if you overslept, I mean, chances are you'll probably wake up early. So just go to Hashkama, you know, wash after Hashkama, you know, take a nap, read the paper, do something, and then you'll have lunch, and then you have Shal Shittes. So, you know, it gets a little tricky on a short day. But Baruch Hashem, this is not such a common, you know, it's not such a common Shaila, but it can come up if somebody's not feeling well and they fall asleep or they sleep through or they're jet lagged, you know, something like that. And now I still remember, I one time, people land Friday morning. You know, from Israel, and they're jet lagged. So I remember, I was coming home, I think, from yeshiva, and I landed Friday night, a Friday morning, and I came home. I made it through the Suda Shabbos, and then afterwards, I said to myself, okay, I'll just sit down on the couch. You know, I'm a little tired, you know, and I put my head back, sitting up, you know, and I woke up. It was like 5 in the morning. You know, it can happen. I mean, I did it after the meal, so I got my meal in. But you could, you know, it can happen before the meal. You know, you don't even realize you sleep the whole night. You know, without even thinking, if you're very tired or you're not feeling well. So it's an interesting shiloh. Again, not so common, but a very interesting shiloh. What do you have to eat? So we mentioned you have to eat bread, obviously, right? You have to have challah. We'll talk about Lecha Mishnah also. You know, we'll have another shiur about Lecha Mishnah. But if you look at source number 11, it's very clear. Suda Zuva Shel Shachris, he's referring to the Friday night meal. E'ef Shar La'asos Below Pas. Okay, you cannot eat the Friday night meal or the Shabbos day meal without bread. You have to have bread for those meals. Again, no matter what kind of diet you're on, no matter how much you dislike carbohydrates, gluten-free, whatever the case is, you have to have some sort of bread. It could be of any of the 5 grains, You know, you don't have to have only just wheat bread, but you have to have at least a kezias of some sort of bread, matzah, something for those two Friday night meals. And the Shulchan Aruch is specifically saying this, as the Mishnah Berurah points out on the second side in source number 12, because when it comes to Shalosh Shudas, and again, we'll see in a separate shiur, we'll see about Shalosh Shudas, there are some opinions that are more lenient. There are opinions also that say that you have to have bread for Shalosh Shudas. We'll discuss it, you know, when we discuss Shalosh Shudas. But there are some opinions that are more lenient when it comes to Shalosh Shudas, as the Mishnah Berurah writes. Ratzalomar afilu l'das ha-mekilin l'kaman v'simen reish tzadi alef sifhei linyin sudah shlishis. Even according to those opinions that are more lenient when it comes to Shalosh Shudas, that you don't necessarily have to have bread. However, Shein Tzarech La'asos Davka B'Pas, Be'elu Shtei Sudas, when it comes to Friday night and Shabbos day, you don't have that option. Modu Kulayam Dehim Iker Kavod HaShabbos, since those two meals are the essential Kavod Shabbos. We have three meals on Shabbos, but the Friday night and the Shabbos day meals are the essential Kavod Shabbos. You have to have bread at those meals. You have to have bread at those meals. No two ways about it. Again, if you can't, for whatever reason, you're allergic, it's going to hurt you. So then obviously you don't have to. But assuming it's not a sakanas nefashos issue, it's not going to make you sick. And you know, you just because it's going to put on a few more calories, you know that's not a great excuse. You have to have bread during those two meals at least. What happens if a person, again, this is Baruch Hashem, not such a common shaila. What happens if a person is stuck, they have no bread? They're stuck somewhere, they have no bread. You know, whatever, you got stuck in traffic, and you're in a hotel for Shabbos, and you don't have any challah with you, or matzah or anything. You know, you just have some cookies or whatever. You know, well, what do you do? What do you do? So writes the Prima Gadim in source number 13, that if a person does not have bread, she'ein lo pas, mechuyav lecho tav shel dagim kezayis. Have cookies. You have something, right? If you don't have bread, at least have something that's made from grain, eat a kezayis of it, and it'll be like bread. Okay. In fact, we mentioned last week when we were talking about Kiddush B'Makom Suda, actually, I didn't mention this, but Rav Shlomo Zalman, without getting back into that discussion, Rav Shlomo Zalman actually holds that if you're being Yotze, your Suda Shabbos with the Kiddush, and you're making it on cake or whatever, that's your Suda for the Kiddush B'Makom Suda, you should have two pieces of cake for Lechem Mishnah. You know, we'll talk about Lechem Mishnah another time also. But here also, presumably, he would say the same thing. If you're stuck in a hotel, you got stuck in traffic, and all you have is some Oreo cookies, you know, so take two Oreo cookies, you make Lechem Mishnah, you make them a nice big mezonos, and eat your Oreos. A little bit of a shvach, Suda Shabbos, but you're stuck. You know, these kind of things can happen. But good question. So comes Rav Moshe with a wild chiddush. First he quotes the Shari Tshuva with an even wilder chiddush. And the Shari Tshuva writes that anything you eat on Shabbos, because Shabbos is such an important day, and eating on Shabbos is such an integral part of our observance of Shabbos, anytime you eat mezonos on Shabbos, it becomes hamotzi. And you got to wash and you got to bench on anything, any mezonos that you eat on Shabbos. Okay? That's what the Shari Tshuva says. Now, we have this concept that at least when it comes to pasah b'kisnet, right? So if you have cake or cookies, things like that, this is really Hilchos Brachos here. But if you eat enough of it, and you have to eat a lot. According to most opinions, you really have to. You have to like sit down and polish off a whole cake, okay? Which I'm sure some of us can do, but you know, it's not advisable. But theoretically, if you would do something like that and you know sit down and eat a whole package of cookies or literally a whole cake, you actually would have to wash on that because it's pasah b'kisnin. It's a cake like cookie like you know food, but it's still called pas. So if you eat enough of it, that this is my meal. I'm not eating a meal. I'm just having a whole cake for lunch today. Right, so that's it. I you have to wash and bench on that type of a meal. So that's only if you eat a whole lot of it. If you just have some cookies and some cake, obviously we don't do that. We make a mezonos and ala michya. However, says the Shari Tshuva, on Shabbos, anytime you have mezonos, it becomes like bread. You got to wash, you got to bench, no problem. So Rav Moshe is not willing to accept the Shari Tshuva, you know, at face value. He doesn't take it as far as the Shari Tshuva takes it. But Rav Moshe has a big kiddush, and Rav Moshe says that at a kiddush, let's say you're making kiddush for makom suda, and you are making mezonos, that's your suda, right? You make kiddush, and then you go into the social hall, and you have mezonos, and that's your suda. He says, that's a suda Shabbos, right? You're using it for kiddush. That's a suda Shabbos. And even if you're just having cake, kezias of cake, or cookies or whatever, you would have to wash and bench on that cake, okay? Now, the minhag is certainly not like that, right? We don't do that. I've never seen anybody in my life do that. Wash and bench on cake just because they're having it as part of their kiddush. But Malkum Suda, we don't really do that. But According to Hamotzi, according to Rav Moshe, you wash, you make Hamotzi, and you bench. Right? Because that's your Suda. You're making it into a Suda, and that's a Kvius. Right? So it's the equivalent of eating a lot. Right? On a weekday, you have to eat a lot in order for it to be Kvius. On Shabbos, he says, if you just use that as your Suda, that's a Kvius. That you've established yourself, that's a real meal, and you got to wash, make Hamotzi, and bench.
I think the Magen Avraham mentioned, or one of the...
Could be. I'm not sure. You're saying Hilchos Brachos, even not Shabbos. Yeah, that could be. That's a whole discussion. If you eat the Paschal of the Kisnin with other things also, yeah. Okay. Now again, it doesn't seem like the minhag. I mean, the minhag is certainly not like the Shari Tshuva, and I don't even think the minhag is like Rav Moshe. I've never seen anybody do it. Maybe you know his family or his talmidim do it, but I've never seen anyone else do it. So you know, I think you could be safe that as long as you eat a standard portion, you exercise portion control. Right. That's the common lingo. But you eat a standard portion of cake or cookies. You don't have to worry. You just make your mezonos and make an ala mechia, and you're okay.
Does it matter if you want it to be your meal? Is it you say, you know what, this kiddush is more than enough?
Right.
And you say, I don't want to go home and eat again.
Right. So I mean, listen. You know, again, according to Rav Moshe, yeah, you know, whether you thought that or not, you would have to do it. I don't know that it would make if you're not going like Rav Moshe. So then I don't know that it would make a difference what your intention is. And most other poskim would say, well, tough luck. You know, it's nice that you think this is a beautiful kiddush. So either get some rolls and wash at the kiddush, you know, if you really like the kiddush. And sometimes you have that at like a nice fancy kiddush, people will provide rolls. Or if you really want, you know, stick one in your pocket before you leave the shul. And you can wash and bench at the shul kiddush, and that could be your lunch. You know, or if not, then just eat a little less. You know,
and then
or,
you have to eat at home.
And then you have to eat at home. You have to wash at home. Yeah. Yeah, you know, so that's what I would say. I'm never a big kiddush eater, besides for the fact that I'm usually talking during kiddush, you know, during the actual kiddush. But I also just I feel like if I eat too much, I fill up and I can't eat my Shabbos food at home, and I don't want to. You know, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to just go home and just wash and bench. It's not, you know, I don't feel like that's the. I mean, you could technically do that. You know, you could technically eat at the kiddush and then just go home and wash and you know have lecha mishnah and wash and bench. But it's not, I don't think that's in the spirit of the three sudos.
The food might be better at the kiddush.
Okay, I'm not getting involved in that. You know, I know you're being recorded here, Franklin. Okay. Now, very interesting. You know, people have all sorts of different minhagim as to what they eat. You know, some people always have liver at Shabbos day, and some people have egg salad, and you know, people have all these different minhagim. We know that many people have gefilte fish. You know, some people have gefilte fish only Shabbos day because they have soup Friday night. Some people have gefilte fish both meals, and all these different family minhagim. And depending on which family you're in, that's going to be your minhagim. You know, I grew up, you know, we never had, you know, we had soup. We had gefilte fish Shabbos day, if at all. You know, my mother wasn't a big gefilte fish person. My in-laws, you know, they have gefilte fish Friday night, Shabbos day, you know, both. So there's a lot of different minhagim depending on what family you're from. But very interesting, right? The Shulchan Aruch in source number 15, that you have to try to make it nice. You know, you try to make the sudos nice. It shouldn't be a bare bones meal. You should try to have nice meals. You know, yirbe bebasa v'yayin u'mcdonos kefiyacholto. You should try to have meat, you know, okay, chicken, meat, whatever the case might be. You try to have wine and, you know, some nice dishes. You know, have a nice dessert. It should be a nice meal. It should be a nice meal with kavod Shabbos. Interestingly, the Mishavura says, V'tov li zahir in 16, V'tov li zahir shalo yifchos mishnei tavshilin. You should have at least two cooked dishes. So usually I think we're pretty good on that front. You know, we usually have a main and at least a side. You know, we have at least two cooked dishes, but you know, it wasn't always like that. But at least you should have two cooked dishes. Not only that, but right to the Mishavura, you should try to have fish at all three meals. Right to the Mishavura, you should try to have fish at all three meals. Gam tov sheyochal b'chol suda megimel sudos dagim. Imlo, shein ne'osim lo. He says, lefi tivo. He says, unless you don't really like them. You know, if you don't really like fish, you don't have to force yourself to eat fish. Oh, shasona, and you really hate fish, you know. Interesting language. And as we just mentioned, v'shabbos la'oneg mitam v'lo l'tzar. The point of Shabbos is oneg Shabbos. So just because it's a nice thing to have fish, you know, basar v'dagim, you know, we talk about basar v'dagim, you should have fish and meat. It's not together, but you know, you have the fish and then the meat. It's a nice thing, it's a nice minhag, but says the Mishnah Berurah, if you don't like fish, you don't have to force yourself. You know, the point is to enjoy yourself. So if you don't like it, don't eat it. But if you like it, then you should try. You should try to eat. I try to have fish at all three meals.
What is the fish symbolic or?
I mean, fish is symbolic in a sense. You know, I mean, there is a certain symbolism to fish. You know, in terms of fish doesn't have an ayin hara because it's samay min ha'ayin. It's hidden. It's in the ocean. It's in the water. We don't see. You know, other animals we see. We see them on the running around. We see them. We don't really see fish too often. They're in the ocean. They do their thing. There's a concept of pru revu when it comes to fish, that there's a certain bracha that's involved with fish. So there's a certain symbolism to fish, which is probably why, you know, certainly al pi Kabbalah, probably it's a good idea to have fish at all the meals. But so there is some symbolism behind it. In terms of the timing, very interesting what Josh brought up before. So some of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the fact that we try to eat on Shabbos day, you should try to eat something before Chatzos. Something before Chatzos. Now, we spoke about before, you know, the obligation to eat Kiddush. You know, a person, you know, technically, you really shouldn't be eating breakfast, like a real breakfast, before davening. You can have a cup of coffee, you can have a cup of tea, you know, you can have water, certainly. Really shouldn't be eating food before davening. But at the same time, you're not supposed to fast until the sixth hour of the day. You're not supposed to fast until Chatzos. It writes the Shulchan Aruch in source number 17. Asur lehisanos b'Shabbos ha'advav shos. You're not allowed to fast until Chatzos. Okay, Chatzos nowadays, by the way, is about 11. I looked today. It's about 11:43. So it's relatively early. You're not supposed to fast until that time. Why? Because fasting until Chatzos makes the day almost into a fast day. Like, there are certain days when people have the custom to fast a half a day, right? Erev, Rosh Hashanah. Many people have the custom to fast, you know, until Chatzos, to fast a half a day. So if you don't eat on Shabbos morning until Chatzos, you don't put anything in your mouth, so then it's not good. You're making Shabbos into a fast day. Shabbos is not supposed to be a fast. You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. Okay? Not only that, but the Shulchan Aruch writes that even if you are schlepping things out because you're learning, you shouldn't do that. Right? Don't daven and then sit down to a three-hour chavrusa that's going to go until 12 o'clock if Chatzos is 11:43. Right? Learning is not a good enough excuse. You gotta eat before Chatzos. Don't schlep out your davening until Chatzos. Now again, if you had a cup of coffee before davening, or you had a cup of tea before davening, so you're probably okay. It's not considered fasting. Even if you had a cup of water, perhaps it's not fasting anymore. But you know, you have to be careful. This kind of thing can come up. The Mishnah Berurah interestingly writes, what if you have a chazan that's really schlepping things out? You know, he's schlepping and he's singing all his nigunim, and you know, you're looking at your watch and it's getting past Chatzos. You know, is that okay? Is that not okay? Right to Mishnah Berurah, Lefi Zen, source number 18. Hashat shemenagin ve'in yotzim beis hakneses arachar sheish shelo kehoginu. If you have a chazan who's schlepping along, and now everybody's getting out of shul at after Chatzos, and nobody's eating, you know, people are fasting until Chatzos because of this guy who's performing in front of everyone. It's not proper. It's not the right thing to do. Ubifrat bechorev shayamim kitzarim. Certainly in the winter, where Chatzos is much earlier, because Chatzos obviously depends on the time of year and what time sunrise and sunset is. So now it's 11:43, right? In the summer, it could be 1 o'clock. You know, you have plenty of time. But now it's much earlier. You have to be careful. Mikol Shkemi Yom Tov, right? Certainly Yom Tov, also you have the problem. Milvab Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a certain allowance that some poskim are more makil, that on Rosh Hashanah you can kind of schlep davening out a little bit, because, you know, Rosh Hashanah, we really need all the davening we can get on Rosh Hashanah. So if you daven a little longer and you go past Chatzos, it's okay, it's not the end of the world. He brings an Eliyahu Rabbah that is a little bit lenient, that if a person is davening or learning and that causes him to fast past Chatzos, that it's okay, according to this Eliyahu Rabbah. But he brings other poskim also, Big Day Yash, in the name of the Mordechai, other poskim as well who hold this way. But it's not ideal. The best thing to do is to try to eat something before Chatzos. So we almost always finish before Chatzos. So even just to get to the Kiddush and to have something before Chatzos is certainly the preferable thing to do, so that we do eat something at least before that time. If we think about the actual timing of the meals, though, so it's interesting. You know, most poskim don't really comment on when the meal should be. You know, you have a meal Friday night, you have lunch, and you have Shal Shudas. You know, you don't really talk about the timing of the meals. Comes the Aruch HaShulchan with a big chiddush. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes that, listen, you have three meals on Shabbos, there are three time periods on Shabbos. There's Friday night, and then we can break up the day, Shabbos day, into two time periods. The morning, which is before Chatzos, and the afternoon, which is after Chatzos. Right? Afternoon. Right? So you have three time periods during the day. Says the Aruch HaShulchan that the three Sudos on Shabbos should be in those three time periods. That's when they're supposed to be. So the Friday night meal has to be Friday night, obviously. You know, we discussed what happens if you miss it, is you got to make it up. But ideally, it's supposed to be Friday night. He says the Shabbos day meal, you got to eat before Chatzos. What's this business? People eating lunch after Chatzos. You got to eat before Chatzos. And the Shal Shuvah should be after Chatzos. Write the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 19. In my humble opinion, my second meal on Shabbos has to be before Chatzos on Shabbos morning. Just like Suda Shlishis is supposed to be after Chatzos, because it corresponds to that time period on the day. So my Suda Shnia, my second Suda, should be before Chatzos. Right, what's the idea here? As we mentioned, the Kevin de Agimel Sudos Yafir Mitlasa Hayom, the three Sudos are learned out from the three times in the Pasuk that it says Hayom, Sarich Lios Lecholachas Zman Kavu Bifnei Atzmo. Each one has a time period which is specific to that meal. Achas Balaila, Viachas Bayom Kodim Chatzos, Viachas Lachar Chatzos. That's it. Aval Tmihani, he says, I'm amazed. No post can mention this. Right? No post can mention this, writes the Aruch HaShulchan. Nobody mentions this. You know, I've looked around all the Sfarim. Nobody's mentioning anything about eating the second meal before Chatzos. I'm sure many of us never heard of this. Right? Rabbi Palakov is coming out with a big chumrah for congregation-based tefillah. They have to eat lunch before Chatzos. Okay, I myself never heard of it until I heard a shir in Eretz Yisrael about 15 years ago from Rav Nissen Kaplan Shlita. You know, you know, people don't know about this. Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't find this in any poskim. Writes the Aruch HaShulchan, nevertheless, you look around, most people don't worry about this. Even though it's not really mentioned in the Sfar, no post can really talk about it. He says it's clear to me. He says at least you got to start lunch before Chatzos. At least start lunch before Chatzos. It sounds like he's saying ideally even to finish lunch before Chatzos. Right? But at least he says for sure you got to start lunch before Chatzos, no question about it. Now in the summer it's a little bit easier because again Chatzos is later, 1 o'clock. You know, after 1 o'clock, so it's not such a big deal. Some people are even done, you know, by that time. But certainly to start is not such a big deal. But in the winter it's challenging. Chatzos is 11:43. Even if we finish shul 11:15, 11:20, 11:30, till you get home and you get settled, it's you pretty much miss Chatzos. So, but this is the Aruch HaShulchan's psak. And many, you know, that I've heard recently a lot of rabbis, you know, try to be makbid for it. Again, I'm not going to tell you that you have to do it, but ideally, it's a nice thing to do, to try to start your meal, if you can, before Chatzos. I recently heard of a big postik that you're all familiar with. I don't want to mention his name, because you'll see in a second. But he's very, very makbid to start lunch before Chatzos. Very makbid. To the point where one of his sons was doing something. He was laning in a different shul or something like that. And somebody who witnessed this told me, and he said that his son knew that his father starts lunch before Chatzos, and he said they're standing there waiting at the table, waiting for the son, and they see him running down the street, right? And his father's got his watch, he's looking at Chatzos, and he's not home, he's running, picks up the coast, makes Kiddush, and starts the meal. He missed it. Okay? That's why I didn't tell you his name, because you might not agree with that that approach, But that was that. That's his psak. He felt very strongly that the second Suda has to start before Chatzos. And if, okay, my son's going to miss it, he's schlepping around, he's going to miss it. I'm not going to make my whole family miss Chatzos because of my son. We have two roles. Let him, he'll make a motzi himself, no problem. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan. Just to finish off, very interestingly, the Prima Gadim does mention that at lunch there is a minhag to eat eggs. Okay, to eat eggs and even lentils, he mentions. Why? Because of Avelus for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the legend has it, right? We believe Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. So out of Avelus, for Moshe Rabbeinu, we eggs and lentils are foods of Avelus. So people eat eggs on Shabbos, which is probably the source of people that, you know, some people have egg salad, you know, or, you know, tzibul, some sort of egg salad, or onions, or whatever. They have egg salad on Shabbos. I don't know where the liver comes from, maybe just because egg salad and liver goes together. So maybe that's where the liver comes from. I don't know that there's any minhag, you know, specifically to have liver on Shabbos, but many people do. It's a European thing, yeah. But I was looking for in the sources. I didn't see anything about liver, but certainly that is the minhag. Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll continue with I think Lechem Mishnah next week, and then we'll talk about Shal Shudas by itself, which is a whole interesting topic. Have a wonderful evening.